the series that Pastor Ken has started some weeks ago, and we are up into series number 6 out of the 7 I am statements of Jesus. Today, we're looking at the I am statement of Jesus one way. In fact, we could say it this way, Jesus the one way, only way. Our text verse is going to come from John chapter number 14, and I'd like for you to stand with me. John chapter number 14, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to read these verses. When we get down to verse number 6, I want you as loud and as passionate as you possibly can to read John chapter 14, verse 6, when we get to that point. Here we go, John chapter number 1, verses number 1. Let me start. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Read with me verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you, Lord, we simply bow our hearts, we bow our minds. We acknowledge that you are God, our Heavenly Father, that you are Jesus, our risen King, and that you rule and reign in the hearts of men and women who have trusted you by faith, and that indeed, Lord, you have made a place. You have reconciled us to your holiness. For that, Lord, we're grateful. We thank you in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Jesus is the only way to God. Big statement. Emphatic statement. Do you believe this? Jesus is the only way to God. Do you believe this? I'm not asking you, do we as a church hold this as our doctrinal position? We do. What I'm asking you is, do you believe this? What do you say? You see, this is a statement of intolerance. It really is. It excludes any other religion as a way to God. Most people, even Christians, don't believe this statement that Jesus is the only way. In fact, a survey that was done a few years ago in 2010, this survey was done by Parade Magazine. It was in the USA, but I think it holds true and probably reflects much of what New Zealand is about as well. 2010 Parade Magazine poll asked if they believed, a group of 35,000 people, if they believed that Jesus was the only way. Out of all of these groups of Christians, only 12% believed Jesus was the only way. That was back in 2010. It's probably even dropped. Now, if we narrow that scope in, another poll was done in 2008, this one by Fox News. 35,000 evangelical church attendees. Evangelical is kind of who we identify with, Bible believers. 35,000 evangelical church attendees. They were asked the question, do you believe Jesus is the only way? Only 43% of those replied that they believe Jesus is the only way. I suspect that that number has even dropped since that time the poll was taken. You see, we live in a day and an age, in a society, where we will tolerate so much. We tolerate so much. We'll tolerate the crime. We'll even tolerate the worst of the crime. The worst of the crime. We'll tolerate all sorts of injustices. We'll tolerate everyone's view about everything. But there's one thing that society has trained us not to tolerate, and that is not to tolerate intolerance. That's what they say. You and I, if we believe this statement that Jesus is the only way, we are intolerant people. The Bible is an intolerant Bible. And I say, praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord that He has separated out something that's different from the world. Praise the Lord that He has separated out a people that don't live as the world lives, that don't think as the world thinks, that don't have the heart that the world has, but we are a separated people to the one and only Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords. If we don't believe that Jesus is the only way, then evangelism is irrelevant, because there would be many ways to God. Our friends Robert and Ruth that are here, they minister overseas, different culture, different people. If we didn't believe that Jesus was the only way, we would send them a letter, and that letter would read something like this: Robert and Ruth, just wherever you are, minister however you want to whoever you want in their way or fashion. But that's not the way we do it. That's not the way they do it. For we know this one central truth, that Jesus Christ, He is the one who came and died for the sins of the world, and there is no other way. The church would just become a club membership if Jesus wasn't the only way. People could just pick and choose from an assortment of religious teachings, and they could be saved any way that they chose if Jesus is not the way. But what does the Bible say? What does God say? What does Jesus say? Well, to understand John chapter 14 and our text verse, verse number 6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. To understand these words about this way, we first have to back up just a bit, because this was a part of a sermon that Jesus was bringing to those closest to Him, His disciples. It starts back in chapter number 13 of John, the Gospel of John. And it starts with this preparation. This preparation that the disciples had been putting together, and they had been working hard, preparing for the most anticipated feast of the year, Feast of Passover. In a usual setting, this would be celebrated with the many loved ones and the family and the priest, and they would bring them all together, recognizing this great escape from death and how God had spared the lives of the Hebrews when they, by faith, had placed the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost of their home. It was commemorated as a holy day. It was commemorated to observe yearly. On this Passover, this time that we read about in John chapter number 13 and into chapter number 14, on this Passover day celebration, Jesus had encouraged His disciples, the 12 that was His, the 12 that was the closest to Him, to come together and celebrate, for this would be Jesus' last celebration with them. In less than 24 hours, He would be hung on a cross, crucified in a most humiliating fashion. The disciples, they had worked hard on this day. They had made everything just right. The food was a perfect example of what was required in the Jewish Passover meal. The atmosphere, the Bible describes as intimate. They were close. They were together. The invited guest was just the 12 closest to Jesus, who had given up everything to follow Him. They had given up their livelihoods, their jobs. They had forsaken their family. They had turned it all over to this one man, and now it had kind of come to this head in this room celebrating this feast. And they had heard, they had known from the past that Jesus had said, I'm going away. I'm going away. He had repeated that throughout the Gospels. I'm going away. I don't know whether they just didn't hear him properly, or they didn't understand, or it didn't resonate in their heart, or maybe they just simply didn't believe. But Jesus had told them previously, I'm going away. But on this evening, when the supper was closing, Judas had been exposed as the fraud that he was. And Jesus had once again told his closest disciples that he would be departing for another place. And then all chaos on their emotions would be unleashed. Their world would be falling apart. How could he leave? How could he abandon them? How could he go to a place that they couldn't go? And where was this place? What was it all about? Jesus tries to explain to them. He explains to them that he's going to prepare a place for them with his heavenly Father. But Jesus isn't talking really so much about a place as he is the events that lead to that place. What is happening in his life as the will of the Father is carried out, and what is happening in their hearts as they have given up everything to follow him. The way that we understand John chapter 14 in verse number 6, when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, is to first look at chapter 13 and verse number 1, for it gives us some insight to this whole dilemma, and it explains what we were reading in John 14, 6, and to understand the message that Jesus is the only way, and to understand the whole picture of the cross and while he must go, and to understand the intolerance of the narrow way of Jesus as being the only way, then we have to understand this absolute one thing. John chapter 13, verse number 1 puts it this way. This is John writing. He's writing, by the way, about 50 years after the event had happened. He was there. He's writing about 50 years later, inspired by the Spirit of God, revealing through John something that he didn't see when he was sitting at the table in an intimate form and fashion with Jesus celebrating this Passover feast. John chapter 13, verse number 1 says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own, who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Do you get that? John was there. The accounts, as was listed, by the way, as John was recording, he's not recording every single thing that had happened. But as John had listed these things, the Spirit of God revealed to John this whole purpose of what this was all about. It wasn't that Jesus was departing them for just another place. It wasn't that Jesus was abandoning them. It was the fact that Jesus loved them. He cherished them. And this way that he was talking about, this way that God had prepared, was a way that no religion could ever match, for it was the way of love that God loved them just like he loves you. There's no doubt about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. And that it is a way and a truth and a life that is based on this very one characteristic of God, that God is love. And that can't be separated from who Jesus is, and that can't be separated from the statements that Jesus is making about himself. In fact, we could say this: love, life, and truth are inseparable principles of who God is and what the Bible is all about. Love, life, and truth. You can't separate God and love. Who would want to even separate life and love? Would you want love without truth? Jesus is the absolute, inseparable way of truth, life, and love. So that brings us to the first point of the message this morning. And it starts with this question: Why is Jesus the absolute only way? Are we just narrow-minded and thick-headed? Not at all. Number one, it's because Jesus, because of his absolute way of love for you. His absolute way of love for you. Why is Jesus the absolute only way? Because of his absolute way of love for you. The way of Jesus is the way of love. The way of religion cannot love you. Did you hear that? Religion can never love you. Only God is love. And there's only one way to God. Listen to what says 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, 8, 9, and 10. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Let me remind you of something. Islam does not love its followers. It doesn't. Judaism does not love its worshipers. Buddhism does not love your soul. You know, sometimes we kind of mix these things together. Sometimes people say, well, I'll hold on to this one and I'll hold on to this one and I'll have a little bit of God at the same time. Only one of those is love. The others are not. They have nothing to satisfy the soul. They can't bring you into a way that leads to God. They can only bring you into a form of systemized religion, and that religion, let me say, does not love you. No ceremonial procedure can love you. No self-made spiritual activity can ever be a viable substitute for God's love. People try it. People get so caught up in ceremonialism that they love the ceremonial aspects of life, the ceremonial aspects of worship, but they forgot that that ceremonial aspect doesn't love them back. All religions demand something from you. Only God loves you. Listen to what Romans chapter 8 says. I like this chapter. I like these verses. Romans chapter number 8, just as a reminder of this whole picture. Romans chapter number 8, starting in verse number 31. What then shall we say to these things? Good question. What shall we say? What do you say? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation or distress? Or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is love. The way of the cross is about love. Jesus, the way, is love. He went to prepare a place for these disciples. But he wanted them to know this one thing, that this way that he was preparing was more than just a place. It was God himself bringing his only begotten Son into the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus, the only way. But there's another aspect of this verse that we must really know and understand. Of course, Jesus is the way because he's the way of love, and he's the only way that loves your soul. But why is Jesus the absolute truth? Can other religions be true? The answer? No. Never. That's pretty emphatic, isn't it? You say, well, Pastor, no, never. There's no aspect of those religions that are true. And the answer is no. Never. You see, other religions cannot be true because truth must be established in absolute terms. Something is either true or it's not true. It's not a little bit true. It's not halfway true. The kind of truth we're talking about is full truth, whole truth, all truth, no variation from truth, the only truth. Jesus himself, from God the Heavenly Father. That's truth. He demonstrated it on the cross. Truth must be established in absolute terms. A straight line can't be partly straight or slightly straight. It's either straight or it's not. And the love of God is demonstrated in his absolute truth. Love and truth go hand in hand. They go together. Even throughout the scriptures, love and truth, they go hand in hand together. Listen to what 138 Psalm says, verse number 2. I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. These two things go hand in hand. Just like Jesus is the way of love. Jesus is the way of love in absolute truth. There's no lie, there's no variation. When Jesus walked upon the earth, when Jesus called the disciples, he wasn't tricking them, he wasn't deceiving them, he wasn't saying, I hope I've got this right. Jesus came in the name of the Heavenly Father who had sent him, for he was indeed God in the flesh, and where God is, there is truth. Jesus is truth. That leaves us really with only two options. Either Jesus is truth or he's not. God is true or God is a liar. There is God and he is truth, and there is Satan and Satan is a liar. There's no in-betweens. It's one or the other. Everything else that tries to mix religion and God together can't be true in the state of absolutes because God is truth. And he's the only truth. God or Satan. It's almost like what Jesus said. When Jesus was walking on the earth and ministering, he didn't really leave room for variation. He didn't say, you can kind of come along and follow my way if you like, but if you don't want to follow my way, there might be another way. He didn't say, I'm telling you some truth, and you've got a little bit of truth, Peter, and you've got a little bit of truth, John, and let's put it all in together and mix it up and see where it leads. That's not what Jesus said at all. Jesus was emphatic. He stood before those who doubted him, and he said, you are either with me or you're against me. He said, there's no other choice. Right now, this morning, in your hearts, you are either with God and truth and love, or you're not. There is no in-between. Even as you sit here this morning, you can't sit here and say, I think I've got some truth, I think I've got some love, and I think I might have God. There is no in-between position. You are either with God or not. There's a pretty powerful verse that John had delivered before we got to chapter number 13 and chapter number 14. Pretty powerful. Listen to these words in John chapter number 8 and verse number 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's pretty emphatic. There was no truth in anything but absolute truth. And absolute truth only comes from God. And absolute truth is only found in Jesus Christ. Therefore, Jesus, when he was talking to the disciples, he said, I love you and I want you to know I love you. And this is way that I'm taking you, is a way of love, and it's a way of truth. Absolute truth. No variation. Full truth or some truth. Jesus had full truth. My truth or God's truth? The truth of who God is and what he's done. But the third and final thing that we must ask, why then is Jesus the life? Can I not find life in something outside of Jesus? The answer? No. Never. You will never find the kind of life that Jesus is talking about outside of love and truth that Jesus demonstrated. It's impossible. No religion will ever provide for you life. No religion will ever give to you everlasting life. Only through Jesus. John chapter 5, verse 24 says this, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." There was no in between. You are either in Jesus Christ, the truth. You are either in Jesus' way of love, or you are in the way of death, or if you have trusted him by faith, you are in the way of life. There was no in between. Do you kind of get it now why we as Christians might be called intolerant? Because there is no other way. Do you kind of get it why the Word of God is so often attacked? Because there is no other way. But yet in our day and age, we're told time and time again, don't believe this. Don't look to God. Make your own way. A lie of Satan. A trick of Satan. Apart from absolute life, there's only one choice, and it's absolute death. And death is not rooted in love, my friends. Death is rooted in sin. Only life is rooted in love. Things you love, you want to live. And God loves you. And Jesus paid the price for your sin because he loves you and he has made a way for you. Death is passed unto all men, but life is passed to all men by the love of God who have trusted him by faith. Death is the defeat of man, but life is the victory of God. Death is final, but life is everlasting. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. No other choices, no other options. He loves you, and the truth of his way is an absolute truth. His life is a life that brings life to you as well. Let's all stand together, because we're going to take some time and we're going to pray. And this morning, I want you to take this message and I want you to absorb it into your heart and your life. If you're here this morning and you're thinking and somewhere along the ways of, I'm really not sure whether I'm in Jesus or not in Jesus. I'm kind of in something, but I don't know what it is. Let me just say to you, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. Maybe this morning you have some questions in your own heart and you're not even sure about any of this. You say, Pastor, I know that I'm not in Jesus, and I need to be, because I want this life. I want this love. And I need it now. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. Is that you this morning? You say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Would you just slip your hand up, because I'm going to pray for you. Anyone at all? Just slip your hand up. I need Jesus right now. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone? I need Jesus. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we're going to take some time and pray. And perhaps this message has spoke to your heart personally, then you have the invitation to come and spend some time right here with us. Perhaps there's someone that you know and you say, oh, Pastor, I need to get this message. I need to get Jesus. He's the only way to my family or to those around me or to some people around the world that God has pressed upon my heart. Then this invitation time is for you, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking. Would you like to come? We're going to take just a moment. The invitation is open. If you would like to come and just spend a moment here at the altar, then why don't you come now? Just step out from where you are. I know it's quiet in here. That's okay. Don't let that bother you. Would you come? Just another moment. Would you come? There are people all around this world who are stuck in the middle. They don't have truth. They don't have life. They don't even know a way. And maybe God is speaking to your heart about delivering that message to them. Would you come for just a moment? Then we're going to close. With heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking. Just you and the Lord as He's ministering to your heart. Our Father, as we come before You, we thank You for Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. We thank You for what You've done in each of our lives, that by faith, as we trust You, You have brought us from death to life. You've brought us from unlovable to being loved. Lord, we thank You and we praise You in the name of Jesus, our Savior. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. We have a few announcements and some things that we're going to share with you. And a special announcement as well from our brother Bong. So that'll be in just a few moments. So Pastor Ken's going to bring the announcements.
Hard to break habits, yeah. Isn't it? Thank you, Pastor Mike, for sharing the word this morning. We do have a few announcements. One of the announcements is, remember our refurbishment project that we had announced a while back. We're wanting to be freshening up our facilities here, and that involves some carpeting, some seats, some paint, and just giving things a new modern look and makeover. We are kicking things off in a couple of weeks with some carpet, so you're going to start seeing the changes, but we want to encourage you to give as well, because we need to raise the rest of the funds after that to cover the rest of the needs to complete the job. Pray about it, and if you would like to give to this, just mark it on your envelopes, refurbishment, or is there another word for it? That's a hard word to spell. Makeover. There you go. Extreme makeover. Okay, thank you, Gavin, for the suggestion. Gavin's extreme makeover. Don't forget, next week is Kids Club launch. Begins at 10 o'clock. So pray for the leaders. Pray for Jennifer. She's worked so hard at this. Pray that this would be greatly blessed of God. So Kids Club begins next week. There's the ladies' conference this week. We have a lot going on, it seems. We just got back from youth camp. It was fantastic. We want to share with you next Sunday at 10 o'clock what happened at youth camp. So be here for the Bible study hour, if you're not usually, at 10 o'clock to see what was going on with the kids, the young people, the many of them that went to camp. But ladies' retreat is this week. We have Miss Joyce Rice Martin coming to share, and her husband as well. He's going to be here on Sunday. There's an important message, too, for the ladies at the conference. If you are able to help provide soup or salad, ladies, are you listening, conference ladies? Provide soup or salad for Friday of the ladies' conference. There's a sign-up sheet in the back. If you want to be a blessing and really help out there, please put your name down. any questions, speak with Gina or my wife, Jenny. Also next Sunday, Brother Martin, Joy's husband, is going to be here. He's going to be sharing the word with us next week. And in the afternoon, we asked him to host a marriage seminar. So it's like a miniature retreat. Each year we like to do an IBC retreat. We go away for a couple of or a few days, and it's such a wonderful time to revitalize the marriage. But if you would like to have a refresher or just a miniature one, come this Sunday. Pastor Mike has been mentioning the sessions, what a wife needs in marriage, what a husband needs in marriage. And when I saw that one, number two, I thought, we got to go. And so I know that you fellas also think the same thing. Get your wife here to see what a husband needs in marriage. Amen? Amen, fellas? Okay, and we'll listen to the other one too, okay? What a wife needs. Important stuff. Good stuff, though. And in between, we're going to have a break and some refreshments together. So come and be a part. New classes are starting as well at this week for BTC, the Baptist Training Center. This is a program we do at church for further training for ministry. And it might be ministry in your local church. It might be for those who, and we pray, some would be called to be ministers full-time on the mission field or church planting or whatever God would put in the heart. So it starts up again this week. We have two classes that are part twos. They've been going since last term, Tuesday and Thursday. But we are also offering, and we have a few people interested already, in starting book one. If you would like to start the course, you need to start book one. And that is Bible Study Methods and Rules of Interpretation. So this is something that we're offering to all church members. If you're a member of the church and you'd like to perhaps consider learning and growing a bit more, check this class out. It begins on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. Be here at what time? 7 o'clock. If you're interested, see my dad, John Young, Pastor Young. He's the administrator of BTC. And let him know I'm interested in beginning this course, book one. Overcomers, Pastor Mike and the Overcomers, sounds like a music group. Pastor Mike and the Overcomers. They're still taking a break, and they're on break this week. Next week is the conference, and then after that they'll be resuming once again. Now we have Missions Month coming up. We have a lot of things happening. Missions Month starts the first weekend in August, and as it does every year. And I'd like to ask Deacon Bong, who's the missions deacon. He's always faking me out, over here, over there. He's going to come and just share a few words with you about this year's Missions Month.
That's good.
So, for me, for example, me, I would really like to savor some Malaysian laksa. I don't know about you. Probably you want the Filipino adobo or time will be, I'm pretty sure you will be blessed, you will be encouraged. And not only that, when you come here, not only that you will be blessed, but you will become a blessing to somebody else as well. All right? So I'll catch you here, 6th of August, 5 o'clock. Thank you.
Appreciate that. The guest speaker on the first weekend is Derek Coates. He's a new missions project that we support, and he's a church planter in Napier, and he's doing a great job. He was also the camp director of the camp we were just at, so he's been directing a youth camp in July and one in January. You're going to love him. I guarantee that you will love this guy. He's a neat guy. I love him because he also is a coffee roaster. He makes the best coffee. He's fantastic. It is time now, just before we go, to acknowledge some birthdays or anniversaries. So, if your birthday is today to next week, please come forward at this time. Do we have any birthday kids, birthday boys, girls, adults, anything? Oh, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Oh, are you playing or are you coming for birthday? Oh, okay. Oh, wow, we got some young ones for a birthday this week, don't we? Excellent. Any other birthdays? Jackie, really? I'm glad you're here today. Awesome. Are you back? Back? Really? Awesome. Jackie and Leon. That's awesome. We've been hoping they would find their way back home, as the prodigal did, and here they are. So welcome. Welcome back. Any anniversaries? Anniversaries? Wedding anniversaries? Wedding bells? Anybody would like to get married? Charlie, he was here last hour. Charlie, are you up there? No? I think he's with the kids ministry. But he got one last hour, so he's been taken care of, or last service. Okay, let's sing happy birthday to these up here, all right? Let's sing happy birthday. Oh, here you go. You take the little one here. No. Pick a big one. Pick a big one. Anyone. Happy birthday. All right. Happy birthday. Little one. Okay, let's be dismissed, shall we? All right. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for this great day that we've had. Thank you for your word to us this morning. Lord, I pray that we would leave here and live our lives knowing that you are the way, the truth, and the life. May we share this news with others around us. Father, dismiss us now with your blessings, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.